Das Chazor sagt nicht, dass ich schreibe, wenn Yehuda mich sagt, dass ich kein sein. Die Gemara ist, dass die Mishnah seems to contradict itself. Because it seems in the beginning to follow the Rabbanon who say that Karen the property needs to pay half damages. And but at the end it seems to follow Rabbi Tarfon who says that Karen the property needs to pay full damages. Rabbi Lozer, the name of Rav, said the entire Mishnah can follow Rabbi Tarfon. The beginning of the Mishnah is discussing a case where only the Nizik has rights to the property for produce, and both the Mazik and the Nizik have rights to use it for their animals. Therefore, with regard to Shane, it's considered to be the property of the Nizik, and the Mazik is Chai for Shane. With regard to Karen, it's considered to be a public area, and even Rabbi Tarfon agrees that he only pay half damages. Fidek Merv Kohana said that he repeated this for Zvidon Nardo, who said that this answer can't be correct. The Mishnah says that Shane is a mood only to eat things that are fitting for it to eat. This suggests that if he ate something not fitting for it to eat, he'd only pay half damages. Now, since this is talking taking place in the property of the Nizik, he would have to pay full damages for that according to Rabbi Tarfon. Rather, Zakt Gemara, we must say that the Mishnah follows the Rabbanan. And the Mishnah should be understood as follows. There are five cases of Tam, and those five can become five cases of Mu'ud, whereas Shane and Regal are immediately a Mu'ud. When are they immediately a Mu'ud? When it takes place in the property of the Nizik. According to this understanding, the Mishnah at the end is not referring to Karen, but rather referring to Shane and Regal. Ravina asked the Mishnah, the next pair picks up off of this Mishnah and asks, what is the case of the ox that damages in the property of the Nizik? Now, if you say that our Mishnah is talking about the case of Karen in the property of the Nizik, this question makes sense. However, if the Mishnah is referring to Shane and Regal, what is the later Mishnah asking with reference to our Mishnah? Ravina therefore said that when the Mishnah mentions Shor HaMu'ud, it again refers to Karen, and then adds that Karen in the property of the Nizik is actually subject to a machlokes between Rabbi Tarfon and the Rabbanon. The Mishnah then says, there are other things that are mu'ud as well. The wolf, the lion, the bear, the bardalus, the leopard, and the snake. In fact, the Braisa, it says just like this explanation of the Mishnah as well. The Mishnah says, "Veloy lirboit." Rabbi Lozer says it's only considered unusual if the kelim he sat on are large kelim. However, if they're small, it would be considered usual, and the animal would therefore be a mu'ud to do so. In fact, maybe we could say this is a Braisa that supports Rabbi Lozer. The Braisa says an animal is a mu'ud to walk in its usual way and to break and crush people, animals, and kelim. We see that an animal is a mu'ud to break kelim. It must be as referring to smaller kelim. Mer says that maybe the Braisa is talking about where the animal crushes it with the side of its body, which is usual. And the Mishnah is discussing where the animal went and sat on the kelim, which is unusual, even if it's a small kelim. Mishnah then said, has a evari. What is a bardalus? Rabbi Huda says it's a nafriza, which Rabbi Yossi explains to mean an apple. Frek Mar Braisa says, Rabbi says that a tsevo is also a mu'ud animal, and Rabbi Lozer says that a snake is also a mu'ud animal. Rabbi Yossi there explained that tsevo is an apple. Since Rabbi Meir is adding this animal to the list of the Mishnah, it can't be that a bardalus is an apple, because then what's Rabbi Meir adding? Well, since Rabbi Meir is referring to a male tsevo and a bardalus is a female tsevo. Frek Mar in the Mishnah, Rabbi Lozer said that a snake is the only animal that's always a mu'ud. So why in the Braisa does he say it's also a mu'ud? So we have to take out the word also from the statement of Rabbi Lozer in the Braisa. Zok de Gemara. Shmuel said, if in the Rishus Aram a lion pounces on an animal, rips it apart, and eats it as it rips it apart, the owner of the lion is potter because it's normal for a lion to do so. Therefore, it's a mazik of Shane, for which one is potter and which is a rabbin. However, if the lion tore apart the animal and only ate it after the animal was dead, the owner is chayiv because it's not normal for a lion to do that. And therefore, it's a chayiv, he's chayiv for Karen. In fact, maybe we find psukim that suggests that a lion does tear apart an animal and not eat it until later on. Zakti Gemara, the lion does that when it wants to feed its cubs or its lioness or when it needs the food for later. However, if it intends to eat it now, it will not wait for the animal to die before eating it. In fact, Mar Bray says if an animal goes into the property of the Nizik, tore apart an animal and then ate it, the owner of the Mazik animal is chayef for full damages, presumably includes the case of a lion, and we see it's considered to be normal for him to do so. Mar said the case of the Bray says where he tore it for storage but then later decided to eat it. How do we know that the lion initially was not going to eat something and later on change his mind? Also, in Shmuel's case, we just say that he's potter when he eats the animal after it dies, because we just say also the lion changes mind over there also. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak said we should understand the case of discussing one case of where the lion tore apart the animal to put it away for later, and another case of where the lion pounced and ate it while it was alive. And in both those cases, he pays full damages when it's in the property of the Nizik, because both of those cases are normal cases of Shane. Ravina said that Shmuel was discussing a case of a domesticated lion, according to Rabbi Lozer, who says that it's not normal for such a lion to attack. If it's not normal for a lion to attack, then Shmuel should even say that he's chai when the lion pounces and eats the animal while it's alive. As Mar said, Ravina was explaining the Braisa, not the statement of Shmuel. If so, the owner should only have to pay half damages. This is unusual for the animal to attack. Mar says the case is that the lion became a mu'ud. If so, why does the Braisa teach that it's a tolda of Shane? Mar said it should be a tolda, because it should be a tolda of Karen. And Mar leaves with a kasha. Zok the next Mishnah. What's the difference between a tam and a mu'ud? Zok the Mishnah. The only difference is that a tam pays half damages from the body of the animal. The mu'ud pays full damages min ha'aliyah. Check out what is meant by aliyah. So Rabbi Lozer said it means that the mazik must pay with the best of its properties. We find the word ma'ila in this way, using this way in the pasuk, where it refers to the best and tells that the Chizkiah was buried next to David and Shlomo. It uses the ma'ila. A pasuk says that the king was buried with besomim and zenim. So what is Rabbi Lozer says zenim means it's a type of besomim. Rabbi Shmuel Nachmani says it refers to besomim that smells so beautiful that whoever smells them ends up with the aveira of znus. A pasuk says that Yirmiyah said the people dug a pit to trap me. Rabbi Lozer said this refers to people suspecting him of being with a zayin. Rabbi Shmuel Nachmani says that people suspected him of being with a married woman. In fact, when we find that said a zayin is referred to as a deep pit, but according to Shmuel Rav Shmuel Achreni, the pasuk we don't find refers to a married woman as a deep pit. So what does it mean? Mar says being mizan with a married woman is also included in the category of zayinah. Fact, Gemara, the pasuk says that Yirmiyah said that the people wanted to have him killed. So if they said that he was with a zayinah, that wouldn't make him chayiv misa. Mar says it means that was referring to where they threw him into a pit of like a swamp of sludge. Rava Darshan, that Yirmiyah davened to Hashem, that when these people who wanted his death, if these people give tzedakah, Hashem should cause that they give it to people who really are not deserving the tzedakah, and that way they won't get the chus of having given tzedakah. Dr. the pasuk says that they did honor for Chizkiyah upon his death. This teaches that they established a yeshiva at his kever. Rav Nosson and Rabban argue, one says they did it for 3 days, the other say they did it for 7 days. Others say they did it actually for 30 days.